I mentioned in my opening remarks that the corporation tax debate and the austerity debate in many ways are two sides of the same coin. And so here tonight to give us a local perspective of what this may look like in terms of an implementation mechanism, if you want to use Richard's phrase, is Tanya Jones. And Tanya Jones is a member of the Green Party in Fermanagh and South Tyrone, and was recently their candidate in the Westminster elections. She is a former teacher and solicitor, as well as a published author. It's 6 books and counting. There we go. And as I found out having dinner with her tonight, a closet medievalist, which I am too. And we don't usually tell people because it's a bit like Richard's wife diagnosing with a love of taxes disease. People kind of look at you a bit strange when you say you love the period between the fall of Rome in 490 and the fall of Constantinople in 1453, and you just love that 1,000 years. I love it, and Tanya loves it. But you'll be glad to hear she's not here tonight to talk about that. She's here to talk about the local perspective on this and respond to Richard's comments. So please join me in welcoming Tanya.
This week in particular, it's easy to see why reducing corporation tax has been such a popular policy here. For the Northern Ireland Executive, it's a rare piece of common ground. In the midst of arguments about almost everything else, here's a policy that both so-called sides can agree on. It's a policy that fits with the ideology of Cameron's Westminster Cabinet, that delights the big business lobbyists, and goes with the flow of neoliberal orthodoxy. And if the promises are true, if it's not just easy but also good, if it will benefit the Northern Ireland economy, bring jobs, investment, revenue, lay the foundations for long-term prosperity, well, what is there not to like? If only that pesky Stephen Agnew didn't keep raising objections. So what is it about this policy that keeps us in the Green Party out of the general consensus? And why do I, in particular, as a Christian, believe that it would be a terrible mistake? Christian morality in our political discourse still refers overwhelmingly to issues of sex and reproduction. Equal marriage and abortion are the front runners, followed far in the distance by fuzzy aspirations about ending poverty, war, and climate change. Where does tax appear in the picture? It creeps in at both ends of the spectrum. On the right, in the Tea Party question of whether governments have the right to tax at all. On the left, in issues of tax avoidance and evasion. But the detail of a particular rate, of a particular tax, is that a moral question? I believe that in this case it is. When people of faith and people of principle do politics, it isn't enough to go with the flow, to adopt orthodoxies wholesale, or to abdicate responsibility for so-called technical detail. We are obliged to deconstruct ideologies and to trace, so far as we possibly can, the probable effects of our actions. And for those following the gospel of Jesus, the most important of those effects are those upon the poor. Richard has done a wonderful job, both this evening and in his wider work, at dismantling the myths of supply side, what even George Bush Sr. called voodoo economics. We know from looking at the evidence that reducing corporation tax to low levels does not increase revenue, does not encourage real investment, does not create long-term jobs, and that any headline growth it causes in the general economy is so unequally divided as to be a source of greater impoverishment and misery. What lowering corporation tax does, it turns out, is exactly what you'd expect it to do. It simply reduces the amount of tax payable by corporations and so increases their profits. It increases the dividends paid to shareholders, themselves overwhelmingly corporations and the very rich. And it increases the bonuses paid to already overpaid executives and tax professionals. To those who have, more shall be given. Meanwhile, as we've heard, Northern Ireland businesses would be burdened with huge administrative costs, and the block grant reduced by anything between 2 and 7 million, 100 million. If we were a prosperous, stable, well-serviced society, perhaps we could afford to play these Treasure Island games, to risk millions on another neoliberal gamble. But we're not. Deprivation and division in Northern Ireland are serious and worsening. Fuel poverty means that around 300,000 households already cannot afford to heat their homes. Our schools, colleges, and universities are facing deep cuts, which will inflict permanent damage on present and future generations. Our environment, public transport, and infrastructure are suffering from years of neglect and deteriorating sharply. Community, environmental, and arts groups across Northern Ireland, which have done invaluable work in holding our social fabric together and speaking for the voiceless, are seeing their slender financial lifelines severed. And so-called welfare reform, the withdrawal of the social safety net, is likely to push thousands of families over the edge into hunger, homelessness, despair. A recent Save the Children report estimated that by the end of this parliament, one in four children here will be living in poverty. We don't know how much the corporation tax reduction would cost the Northern Ireland budget overall. What we do know is that the burden of that cost will be laid on the backs of the poor, of the disabled, and of our children. As a Christian, someone who tries to follow the teachings of the gospel, I can't stand back and say that that's okay. Anyone who harms one of these. Yes, we do need investment in our economy. We need jobs, or more precisely, we need positive, sustainable work which can provide secure livelihoods for employees and the self-employed. We need to support good businesses, especially Indigenous ones, and we need to encourage and nurture creativity and beneficial innovation. We can do all these things by looking carefully at what we need and at what we are good at. Renewable energy, creative arts and film production, energy efficiency, higher and further education, sustainable agriculture and food production, high quality tourism. Real support for these sectors would not only benefit our economy, but the daily lives of our neighbours and the future of their children. Just one final thought. What we do in shaping our tax system has real and serious effects. In this case, enriching the already rich, impoverishing the already poor. But it does something else as well. It sends out messages about the priorities of its leaders, the path that it wants society to take. That's why we tax harmful substances like tobacco and alcohol. Why we used to tax unearned income at a higher rate than wages. Why responsible governments raise taxes on petrol to encourage the use of sustainable transport. And this reduction would send a message as well. One message for the rich. Come, my good and faithful master, let me sit at your right hand. And another message for the poor. Begone, I never knew you. The reduction of corporation tax, as Richard has said, is a good policy for religious people. You have to have faith to believe in its virtue. But that faith isn't a Christian one. We can do better.
Thank you, Tanya, for that provocative local perspective. We really appreciate it.